Romans chapter 5. Well, you know, I was thinking that kind of music makes you feel good all over, doesn't it? Makes you really feel good. It should lift your spirits. So much of the Word of God put to music and put to music in a dramatic enough way to really move our hearts. I trust it was a blessing to you as it was to me. And they did a really great job, and we thank them for all of the hard work that they put in to bring a program like that for us, so that we can rejoice in the things of the Lord. That's what music helps you do, really rejoice in the things of the Lord and lift your spirits. I have an announcement here. It says the spring sports program will not start this week. It will start next Monday. We do have a lot of things coming up here this week, though, along with our regular services on Tuesday night in Plymouth and Wednesday night here in Tilton. There is a all-star tournament that's going to be taking place on Friday and Saturday. So if you'd like to, join and come and watch the basketball players from all over the Northeast compete against each other and eat food and fellowship and all those things that we're accustomed to doing during these times. That's what we're going to have starting Friday night. I believe the starting time is 6 o'clock. Is that right? 6 o'clock? He doesn't know. We're only the guys that put it together, but we don't know. We don't know when the starting time is, but it is somewhere around 6 o'clock. If you get there earlier than that, the food is free. Ooh. Boy, you know what? We would have a crowd, wouldn't we? We would have a crowd. All right. No, I was only kidding about that. I don't want to see any of the cooks fainting or the people are buying the food. We do have to pay for the food, you know. Anyway, that's Friday night. And, you know, there'll be two boys games on Friday night. And then on Saturday, there'll be games starting in the morning, a boys game and girls game and then a boys game. So it's a good time. Our team is also playing over in Portsmouth on Thursday night at 6:15 for those who like to follow the team. So we have a lot of things coming up this weekend in sports. Romans chapter 5. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts as we look at the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and how people think. We pray that each heart here might be focused on the truth of the Word of God, and seeing that is more important than anything else and any other opinion in the whole wide world, especially our own opinion. We pray if there are folks here that don't know the Savior, that they come to the Savior tonight and be wonderfully saved. We pray and we trust Thee for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So a wonderful verse. Justified by faith. If you're justified by faith, the Word of God says, we have peace with God. I love to be at peace, don't you? You know, it's great to have peace in your heart and be content. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world could be at peace and we wouldn't have to see suicide bombings and innocent people injured and killed? The problem is, everyone in the world has a differing opinion. And those differing opinions are there to satisfy themselves. And trouble exists because everybody has a different opinion of what they want. Not only do nations have differing opinions, but even within families there is tension. And that tension does not allow for peace, even in a family. There is a way to peace. However, most people want their way to peace without regard for others. And so there is grief. And they think that they have all the answers. And if the solutions are given to the problems, and the solutions come from the Bible and from the living God, they'll nevertheless argue, they will dispute, they will act as if they have all the answers, no matter what you show them from the very Word of God. And I would challenge you tonight, you think you have all the answers? Do you have peace? You've got to really ask yourself the question, do I really have peace in my heart in this troubled life? Or am I a person who does not have peace, but I think I've got all the answers? You tell me, do you have peace? Do you say, well, preacher, you say that we need to be born again, but I think I have a better way. You think you have all the answers. Do you have peace? Have you met people who think they have all the answers? I certainly have. And it doesn't seem to matter how much education a person has, from the highly educated to the little educated. There are those who express their opinions with great confidence. But do they truly have peace? The Bible shows us how to have peace. But do we trust the Word of God? Or do we have a whole lot of excuses as to why we do not trust the Word of God? Let me suggest a few excuses that people have that keep them from peace. Number one, you think the Bible is a myth. Do you realize there are many people who see the Bible in the same way that they see Superman or some other story? And because of this, they accept the Bible in a wrong way. They accept it in a way as if it's interesting, but it's kind of make-believe. You know, there are those who think that, you know, the Bible is based on some facts. However, they think that the truth has been lost as the story was handed down from generation to generation. This is what they think. And therefore, they do not trust the Bible in the way that they need to trust it to be saved. Because it wasn't handed down from generation to generation. It was given by Almighty God. And what is worse is that there are those considered intellectual scholars who with great, sophisticated, well-thought-out unbelief postulate their pompous positions. Listen to this quote from this magazine. I showed you this magazine back at Christmas because it was so. It purports, the U.S. News and World Report purports to tell us all we ever need to know about faith. These people tell us all we need to know about faith. These people, reporters. And this is what it says on page 55. It says, rather, it reflects the same careful process of doctrinal development that has been part of the church tradition from the beginning. Now listen, as I continue to quote, it took the Christian community 300 years to come up with the doctrine of the Trinity at Nicaea, and an additional 125 years to articulate the dual nature of Christ at Chalcedon. Makes that statement as if it were true. Some writer studied a little bit about religion and makes a statement that it took the church 300 years to come up with the doctrine of the Trinity. And then he completes that little section by saying that this, in every generation, the church must interpret and apply the scriptures in the context of contemporary culture if we are to be faithful to the text as it is meant. Oh my. Do you understand any of that? Probably doesn't want you to understand any, except he says, we do it our way if we're to be faithful to the text as it is meant. Here's a writer who's completely unfaithful to the text as it was meant. But he puts it in and makes it sound like this is the way to be faithful to the Bible. And you know what? There are people who believe this. They read it and they believe it. However, the resurrected Christ stated, "Thy word is truth." Is truth. That means that this Bible, every single word in it is true. Thy word is true. The resurrected Christ said that. You know, I believe the God-man, meaning Jesus. I believe the God-man who came back from the dead. And you know what? He's given me wonderful peace in my life. And by the way, it didn't take 300 years. God's people simply believed the Bible all along. But you know, when it was particularly challenged, you know, then they again articulated it and they wrote it down. And so because they wrote it down there in some other document, somebody says, well, you know, they finally came around to this belief in 300 years. That's not the truth. See, that's the problem when you got unbelievers writing things down about religion. They don't even know the truth, so they can't even tell the truth. You see, God's people believed it all along. God's people believed in the triune God all along. God's people believed that Jesus was God and that He was man. They believed that all along. And because somebody came along and challenged it, and then somebody wrote it down somewhere else besides in the Bible, then they say, oh, you know, it took them 300 years to come to this conclusion. No, it didn't take 300 years to come to that conclusion. They believed it all along. You know, the fellow that wrote those words, that the ignorant might well believe, that fellow wrote those words in this article. You know what? He's going to die. And he ain't going to rise again in 3 days. When Jesus spoke, he spoke truth, and he rose from the dead to certify his truth. I believe Jesus. He rose from the dead. Nobody else rose from the dead. I believe the man who rose from the dead. And when you believe Jesus, you know what? It gives peace. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, how do you get justified? By believing Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You think you have all the answers? Do you have peace? Number one, you think the Bible is a myth. Do you have peace? Or perhaps number two, you think that evolution makes the Bible obsolete. Do you understand the diabolical genius of evolution? It's simply this. If we evolved, then there is no God in the Bible who will throw wicked sinners into hell. That's what evolution's all about, you know. So the foul-mouthed, the fornicators, the adulterers, the liars, the drunkards would love to feel secure that there is no lake of fire, as the Bible so clearly states. Because the Bible says this, but the fearful, that's a person who's afraid to be saved, but the fearful and the unbelieving, that's a person who just says, I don't believe it. And the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. If there's evolution, they think, then there isn't any hell, they think. Evolution's a very popular belief. Here's a statement of a well-known author, Carl Sagan, out of the same magazine. He is quoted as saying, if by God one means the set of physical laws that govern the universe, then clearly there is such a God. He goes on to say, this God is emotionally unsatisfying. It does not make much sense to pray to the law of gravity. It was on page 47 in that same magazine. You know, I get the impression that man does not believe in the God of the Bible, nor does he have peace. He said it would be emotionally unsatisfying. You see, he might have thought he has all the answers in life, but he has probably found out that all of his answers are emotionally unsatisfying. He doesn't have peace. And how about the fella who is best known for his theory of evolution? You know what he said? Quoting from the same article, he said, "I look at everything as resulting from designed laws, with the details left to the working out of what we may call chance." In other words, all these laws came about by chance. I go on quoting, "Not that this notion at all satisfies me. I feel most deeply that the whole subject is too profound for the human intellect." Charles Darwin said that. You know, there was a time when it looked like Charles Darwin had all the answers. But from that quote, it does not seem that he had peace. Charles Darwin's been dead a long time. I believe the resurrected Christ. He rose from the dead. Darwin is dead, remains dead. Jesus is alive. I believe someone who can raise from the dead. And this is what Jesus said. He said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Matthew 19:4. Jesus said that he made them male and female. They did not evolve. Jesus taught the creation of the male and the female. And Jesus came back from the dead demonstrating that he was God. That's why we have an Easter. And he speaks with absolute final authority. I need no other argument. Jesus' word is enough for me. And when you trust him, you can have peace. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You think you have all the answers? Do you have peace? You think the Bible's a myth? Do you have peace? You think that evolution makes the Bible obsolete? Do you have peace? Number 3, you have your own religion. Do you have peace? Many of the older folks that I have spoken with use this excuse. "I have my own religion." I have a question for you, if you have an honest heart. If you have an honest heart. If you don't have an honest heart, can't deal with you. Do you have peace? Do you have the peace that all your sins have been forgiven? Are you certain of heaven? You know, the best answer most people come up with is, "I think so." "I think so" is not good enough. "I think so" is uncertainty. Uncertainty does not bring peace. It brings confusion. Does this verse look like it is uncertainty? Let's read it again. Does it look like it's uncertainty? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Is that "I think so"? Is that uncertainty? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That doesn't look like "I think so." You see, you need to believe in Jesus instead of your own religion. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that religion saves. The Bible teaches us that Jesus saves. The Bible never teaches us that religion saves. When you say, "I have my own religion," the Bible doesn't say that religion saves. So you're just as lost can be when you have your own religion, because the Bible doesn't say religion saves. The Bible says that Jesus saves. It's a tragic answer to say, "I have my own religion." You see, the really big problem is confusion, because your religion might have Jesus, or a Jesus, or the name Jesus. And therefore, you somehow think that you're all right, and that you believe in Jesus, when indeed you're really trusting in your religion instead of Jesus. You know, Jesus made this statement to a very religious woman who was trusting her religion. You know what he said to her? Point blank. You know what he said to her? Without diplomacy. Do you know what he said to her? He said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." That was a woman that had a religion. And he said to her, point blank, "You don't know what you worship. You have your own religion, but you don't know what you worship." That's John 4:22. You'll never be saved and have that peace until you trust Jesus instead of your religion. I said instead of your religion, in place of your religion. And you know, it's also good to think he took your place, and you must trust him instead of your religion. And then there's this big objection. How come there are so many religions and denominations? You know, the Bible answers that question. Over in the book of Proverbs, it says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto man. That's the reason why there's so many religions. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man. In other words, man does it his way. He doesn't do it God's way. Do you realize that most everybody in the world is religious? Almost everyone. There's only a few atheists. Almost everyone has some kind of a religion. However, that does not mean that everyone wants to follow the God of the Bible. So religions develop because they don't want to follow the God of the Bible. They want to do things their way. And that includes Christian religions. Denominations wanted to do things their way, not the Bible way. And in order to do things their way and reject the ways they don't like that are in the Bible, while still acting as if they use the Bible, they have developed their own little avoidance technique. You know, this avoidance technique probably has two parts. One part is to conveniently ignore what the Bible clearly states. Just kind of pretend it's not there. You know, those parts about hell, some people like to pretend they're not there. And the other way that religions avoid what God says and still have their own Christian religion, you know what they do? They say that the Bible has to be interpreted. Interpreted. Have you ever heard anything like this before? "So, oh, I've never heard that kind of preaching before. Anybody say that bad things about religion?" You know, if you haven't heard anything like this before, what you ought to do is just compare what the Bible plainly says with what religions practice and teach. Just do that. If you do that, you may not think that I'm giving you some wild hypothesis. Do you know that when Jesus said to a religious man, "You must be born again," he did not say the religious leader had to interpret what he said. He said, "You must be born again." He didn't say, "I just said you must be born again. Now go about and interpret it and see if you get it right." So therefore, it's easy for us to conclude that religion interprets. You see, saving faith simply believes what the Bible says. And when you do that, you find peace. Go back to verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You don't have to interpret that. All you got to do is believe it. You don't have to interpret it. What's there to interpret? You know, the Bible can be a whole lot easier than people make it if you just believe it instead of trying to interpret it. Therefore means therefore. Being means being. Justified means justified. By faith means by faith. It doesn't mean by works, it means by faith. It doesn't mean by being good. See? We have peace means we have peace. We have peace with God means we have peace with God. This is easy, isn't it? Well, you didn't know it was so easy, did you? It's just believe it. How are we justified? Means just as if we hadn't sinned before a holy God. How do we get like that? How do we get pronounced in heaven just as if we had never sinned? That's what justified means. By faith. It means we believe it. It does not mean we interpreted it. It means we believed it. And the justification that gives us peace comes about because we believe. Not because we interpret it. You may have religion, but you may not be at peace. Peace comes when you know that all your sins are under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes when you know that your salvation does not in any wise depend on you. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, meaning Jesus also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, doesn't that sound wonderful? Peace with God. Access, grace, rejoice. Sounds good, doesn't it? You can have it. It's a lot better than fighting. It's a lot better than feeling miserable within. It's a lot better than lighting up a cigarette to steady the nerves. It's a lot better than taking a little sip of booze to steady the nerves or whatever. You know, it's a lot better than a conversation with your friend who you hope will give you an ear. Your friend who doesn't know anything more than you do. Your friend who can't lead you to Christ. You know, your friend who's going to say everything's going to turn out all right. It's a lot better to have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You can be justified and have that peace. Or do you think you have all the answers? Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you to pray in a moment to the Lord. Do you have that peace? If you're honest with your heart, you know you don't have the peace of God that comes from knowing all your sins are under the blood, that you've got the gift of salvation, that you're on your way to heaven. If you don't have that peace, you could have it tonight. You can have it tonight. You can if you don't think you have all the answers. If you think you have all the answers, then you'll never get it. Because you have to get the answer in the Lord Jesus Christ and not from your own human wisdom. And if you want that peace, here's what you do right now in the quietness of your heart. You say, "Oh Lord, I believe that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I cannot save myself. I cannot do good works to help save me. I will not depend on anything good within me. But Lord, I will trust that Jesus was God. He was all God and all man. And He offered a sacrifice for sins. He took my place. He took my sin. And He satisfied the holiness of God on my behalf. I believe that. I believe He died, was buried, and He rose again. Ascended into heaven, He's coming again. He is all powerful. And I trust in Him totally to save my soul. I trust in no other thing. Not in a church, not in a religion, not in a baptism, not in myself, not in any works. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Please save me based on my trust to make me a new creature in Christ. You pray that prayer in this quiet moment as we pray silently.